our fun with catchers on Wednesday. And now it gets real, people. Good players. First base. People that can actually hit. Welcome to the show. This is our first base preview for 2017. I'm Adam Azer. What's up, Scott White?
Hey, Adam. How's it going?
Pretty good. That's at CBS Scott White. Hey, Heath Cummings.
Everything is awesome.
Is that sarcastic or is this
no?
Good? Okay, good, good, good.
Why would you assume that it's sarcastic? Now I hate you.
It sounded a little.
I tried to bring a good attitude and be uplifting.
You weren't smiling.
As soon as I say something nice to start the podcast, why are you being so sarcastic?
You had a stern look on your face, so I don't know. But okay, great. Everything is awesome. At Heath Cummings SR, at Heath Cummings Senior on Twitter, and at C Towers CBS. I always forget it, but it's at C Towers CBS, right?
Everything is cool when you're part of a team.
Oh, wait, what is that from?
It's from Lego Movie.
It's by the band Tegan and Sarah.
Oh, them. Let's talk first base. Programming announcement. Tomorrow, it's just me and Heath. Right, Heath?
Yeah, the best podcast of the week.
You're here tomorrow?
Yeah.
You're going to be gone next week. You can't do any work this week.
It's me, Heath, and Chris. Never mind.
I'm not going.
We're going to do a mailbag, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We have a lot of questions in the inbox, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Also some leftovers from catcher and first base. So that's tomorrow. Send in your questions if you'd like. Mostly will be non-keeper questions, but you can give it a shot. And I'm going to try to respond to some emails anyway on my own. So let's do first base. Quick questions here on first base. Let's just, if you're new to the show, we have a really dumb thing where I create meters, worryometer, legitometer, startometer, anything. I just like to meter everything. So let's get the worryometer out. 0 to 10. 0, not worried at all. 10, extremely worried. This is a huge problem. We're going to talk about some first baseman here. Worryometer on Paul Goldschmidt's career high ground ball to fly ball ratio, career low fly ball percentage as Goldschmidt hit just 24 home runs. Still was the number one first baseman in both points in Roto, but a lot more ground balls. 0 to 10, Paul Goldschmidt's ground ball rate.
2.5.
4, and I think you're actually burying the lead. The bigger issue for me is the 14% infield fly ball rate, nearly twice as high as any other season in his career.
I can't bury the lead if I did not know about the lead, Chris. So yeah.
Sure,
I think that's the definition of burying the lead.
I thought it was like you know about it,
but I was not a journalism major.
But yeah,
it did pop out a lot, right? That's weird. That yeah, I'm gonna go 2 as well. It just seems so out of line with everything we know about Paul Goldschmidt that I have a hard time believing it's real.
Okay.
It's not real.
So do we expect Paul Goldschmidt to hit 30 home runs again?
I more or less do. Expect might be a little strong, but I trust him to.
I will set the over-under at 28.
I do not expect him to, but he's still pretty clearly the number one first baseman.
All right. Remember,
not Heath, clear at all.
Yeah, Heath has Rizzo number one in points, Goldschmidt number one in Roto. Next question. How does the fact that Miguel Cabrera, Joey Votto, and Edwin Encarnacion are all 33 or 34 years old this season affect your approach, if at all? Miggy, Votto, Encarnacion, all 33 or 34, and you're looking at them, maybe last pick of a 12-team league round one, into round two. How does that affect your approach, if at all?
It's certainly, I would say that's more worrying than Paul Goldschmidt's career high ground ball to fly ball ratio.
Yes.
Career worst.
Career worst.
But is it more worrisome than the infield fly ball rate?
Yes.
Okay.
It is worth noting, just fun to say, Joey Votto did not have a single infield fly ball last season.
Wow.
Well, he's never had more than 5 in a season.
Let me ask the question.
Amazing.
Let me ask the question like this. You're going to have some decisions to make between those slugging first basemen, right? After Goldschmidt and Rizzo are off the board, you're going to have some decisions to make. Do you take one of the older guys who really have shown no signs of slowing down unless maybe Encarnacion striking out a little bit more, batting average worse, ballpark.
Cabrera injuries 2 years ago.
Yeah, Cabrera, the power was certainly down for Cabrera before last year. So some signs, but still great, great players. Or you can go with a younger option like Carlos Correa or Corey Seager, or you can go with Max Scherzer, somebody like that, or you can go with Charlie Blackmon. How do you make that decision? Does the age matter at all with those guys?
It doesn't matter to me at all. It does help that first base, there is like such a clear teardrop after this group that like if you want an elite first baseman and half the league is going to have an elite first baseman, like you just have to suck it up. But, you know, first baseman, particularly ones with the kind of plate discipline these guys have, they tend to age well. They're all going to drop off someday, but I have no reason to believe this year's going to be that year.
I was double-checking myself, and you can't really do this because everybody lies. We don't really know how tall or how much anyone weighs in professional sports, but I worry more about Cabrera and Encarnacion because of my perception of the difference in their body type. And that's what I wanted to look at, like, is Votto. And Votto is trimmer than the other two. I think heavier first basemen generally age worse, except for David Ortiz.
Yeah, I mean, like, the problem with that discussion, and we don't want to linger on it too long, but Votto's always seemed a little smaller, just in general. But also, like, has there ever been a more fit first baseman than Albert Pujols? And he just kind of hit a wall at 31 and has had lingering injury issues for, like, a decade.
He hit a wall at 31?
I don't think he hit a wall at 31.
He's 37
Whatever
right
age
now.
It was, 33.
But that's important.
He hit a wall at some point. There was a point where Albert Pujols was an elite player, and then there was a point, a very clear delineation from one season to the next where he was not nearly as good.
Well, okay, so Pujols, I think... Sorry. So, like, I think there was a gradual decline. I remember his slugging percentage had dropped three straight years, and we saw signs of it. I think you could argue that we saw signs of it with Miguel Cabrera, but he bounced back.
Yeah, he put a stop to those.
He sure did.
Edwin Encarnacion, you could say, oh, the strikeout rate was unusually high last year, but I don't know. There are clearer worries, I think, even in the first couple rounds than these players.
But we are, like, last year, Cabrera and Encarnacion and those guys were late first-round picks. And we're pretty much all taking them in the second now.
No, early to mid-second-round picks.
Yeah, I think certainly Encarnacion was a second-round pick.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Cabrera, I think, was a first-round pick. But we were kind of the CBS group was kind of the lone holdouts in that regard. And... we were sort of right.
I think we were right. He had a great year.
And now we're dropping him to the second round just because there's
a lot
of younger hitters really excelled last year.
Okay. We're comfortable taking these guys in the second round. And you're going to be surprised at some of their ADP, by the way. Votto, 21st overall. Encarnacion, 25th overall. Not in our leagues, that's for sure. Like Encarnacion going three picks ahead of Freddie Freeman is kind of crazy.
Freddie Freeman hype is getting a little out of control.
Here we go. Next question. Freddie Freeman and Carlos Santana. You know, there's a lot of talk about the jump that Freeman took. He and Santana had pretty similar years, except Freeman had a much better batting average. Freeman and Santana both hit a career high 34 home runs in 2016. Now, Freeman's 27 years old. This should be his, you know, power prime. Are either Freeman or Santana legit 30 home run hitters in your mind?
I think Santana's a much more legit 30 home run guy than Freddie Freeman.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm not sure.
Okay,
I agree.
No, yeah.
I don't think either one are.
Freeman's fly ball percentage was higher than I expected. He got up to 40% last year.
Either of them could. I would expect both of them to come pretty close to 30. If I had to bet on them, I would bet on under 30 for both of them.
Yeah.
But Santana is a much, much, much better value on draft day.
The thing about Freeman, and he is like this is why he's so able to put up high batting average despite not such a great strikeout rate. He just hits the ball so uncommonly hard.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, it would seem natural to me that as he grows and enters his prime where he is now, that would translate to more home runs. So I'm not saying, like, you know, you can count on 30 home runs from him. I also think it's kind of silly to draft him ahead of Edwin Encarnacion.
No, he's three picks after.
Encarnacion's track record, but
he's after.
I do feel like he's a safer bet for power and certainly a safer bet overall for overall production than Santana.
Like most years of their career, Santana's put up better power numbers than Freeman.
Yep, I think times are changing.
And they did the same last year.
But Santana's 4 years older than Freeman. And
yeah,
Freeman,
true.
Freeman had maybe been developing a little bit more power because in 2015, he was only on pace for 24 home runs, which would have been a career high. Then it went up to 34, but, you know, home runs are way up. I know you say, these are supposed to be quick questions, but I'm just so fascinated by Freddie Freeman. He goes earlier than I want to take him in every draft, but he's a really good player. He started crushing righties last year. Heath, I know you say the Freddie Freeman hype has gotten a little too high, but I don't know. He was elite last year.
For me, it comes down to you're paying for a career year, and it's almost never smart to do that. It's not necessarily a guarantee that he won't be as good this year as last year, but you're paying for a career outlier season. That's always risky.
The weird thing
if you're taking him ahead of Encarnacion,
no, but well, Scott,
not
going,
just if you draft Freddie Freeman, period,
25th or whatever he's going right now.
If you draft him this year, you are.
Yeah. Hold on,
he doesn't fall even to the fourth round.
Yeah, hold on.
He does. Sometimes in the late second, early third round, you're paying for a career.
Okay,
year,
that's fair. That's fair. I would go fourth round for Freddie.
And we wrote about players to avoid. He was one of mine, mostly just based on his ADP.
Well, okay, yeah, sorry. So I just want to say, he's not going ahead of Encarnacion. I might have confused you. He's going three picks behind Encarnacion. But, yeah, 27th.
In some drafts, he's going ahead of Encarnacion.
Okay, 28th overall is still pretty high.
Yeah.
Early third round in a 12-team league for Freddie Freeman.
I'm going to have 0% Freddie Freeman this year.
But I just want to bring up one comparison, because I remember this discussion, like, it was Matt Kemp. And I didn't want to pay up for Matt Kemp after his career year. And he still had a really good year the next season. He just got hurt, unfortunately. But, you know, it was 2011, Matt Kemp, 324, 39 homers, 40 steals. 324, 399, 586. The next year, 303, 367, 538. Was still a great player. I just wonder if, and Kemp had never done anything like that, really. Yeah, pretty much. Never done it, a little bit on a limited basis. I don't know. I'm just wondering if that was a more legit breakout for Freeman than we're giving him credit for. But you guys don't think so. Fourth round for Freeman, right?
I'm not taking him in the fourth round. I'll wait for the fifth.
I would be more comfortable taking him in the fourth. Yeah.
All right. Well, you will not be getting Freeman in the fifth round. I think that's clear, but that's fair enough. And last question here before we get into some strategy and ADP review. Also some news and notes. How much do you think injuries factored into Matt Carpenter's season and Chris Davis's season? Carpenter with the oblique injury, pretty clear he was terrible when he came back. And Carpenter even said he adjusted his swing because of the pain when he came back.
Carpenter, like, almost entirely responsible for his struggles.
Chris Davis,
what I would think,
had a dislocated thumb early in the season. He played almost the entire year with a dislocated thumb.
Yeah, but he was still Chris Davis.
That's the thing. It's like, Chris Davis was not really noticeably worse last year than he was in 2015. He had a 40% hard contact rate.
But his batting average.
It was just even year Chris Davis, man.
I mean, he batted 221.
Chris Davis in even years.
He had a 43% fly ball rate and a 40% hard contact rate. In 2015, it was 43 and 41. Back in his phenomenal 2013, it was 45 and 41.
So it was just bad luck that he hit 221? Chris Davis?
Almost entirely.
Well,
wow.
I don't know if it's with Chris Davis, I don't know if it's bad luck versus good luck in any other season. I think it's just that when you strike out 200 times in a season and you hit 40 to 50 home runs every year, there's only so many batted balls that you're going to have.
It's bad
luck.
And
there's huge, well, I just think it's random fluctuations.
Well, he had a dislocated thumb.
Yes, yes.
By definition.
But, like, he is the type of player who is going to be prone to these wild swings.
Absolutely. He should hit if his luck was completely neutral, he should hit around 250.
But he's so dependent on luck, I think, is what Chris is saying. So you can't really say with any confidence he's going to bounce back and not hit 221 this year.
Yeah.
That would be just as likely as him hitting 280 this year.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sorry. I just think, like, common sense tells me he was playing with a dislocated thumb. I know what the batted ball stats are or whatever, but his line drive rate was down a little bit. His soft contact rate was up a little bit. I don't know. Dislocated thumb. How does that not affect the guy's performance?
I feel like it should have showed up somewhere besides his batting average, and it really didn't.
Okay.
Well, another way he was extremely unlucky was the 84 RBI.
So where is he going on average, Adam, Chris Davis?
Chris Davis is going in round 7 after Daniel Murphy, Will Myers, Jose Abreu, Matt Carpenter.
That just gets to a point where the value is too great to pass up. Like, even if he hits 221 with the kind of power he's going to provide, seventh round is I think, perfectly reasonable.
Yeah, because these are roto ADPs too.
Yeah, and yeah. I've seen him, like, I remember one of our first mock drafts, I got him in round 9, yep. which was even better.
Yep. All right. So comparing third base to first base, first base to third base, because remember we got a question not too long ago, is third base the new first base? I still think first base is pretty damn good. Now, look, that's if you include Matt Carpenter, if you include Daniel Murphy. These guys are eligible at different positions. You might not play them at first base, but I still think it's a pretty deep position. Maybe after like 14 guys, maybe after 12, it's not so great. But if you're in a one first baseman league, I feel like you should be able to get a pretty good hitter. What are your thoughts on the depth of first base and compared to third base?
I think it is still deep, provided you don't get locked into the old way of thinking that any first baseman who is eligible at another position should play that other position. Mm-hmm. There's like the mid-range depth, I think, is greater at second and third base. And so specifically for Daniel Murphy and Matt Carpenter, first base might be the most appropriate place to play them. And it may be a situation where you draft them early and intending to play them at one of their other positions, and then then you find out later in the draft, oh, I can get another second baseman, so you move them. You just need to be open to that idea as the draft is in progress, because otherwise there winds up being a big gap at first base between the haves and the have-nots, the people who did draft Cabrera, Votto, Encarnacion, or obviously Rizzo or Goldschmidt, and then the people who have to settle for Hanley Ramirez. You know, it's those dual eligible guys that are really kind of bridging that divide.
Yeah, and I think that you're probably maybe a little more likely to use third base for corner infield if you're in one of those leagues. Would you say the depth in the teens is better at third than it is at first?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, okay. A couple of them were eligible at both, but yes.
Okay. So give me your general first base strategy, guys. How are you approaching the position this year?
I really want one of the Elite Five, or I guess you could call it six if you want to include Daniel Murphy. Those are the ones who are going to be gone probably by the end of round 2. Maybe Murphy lasts early in round 3. And I think the drop-off is enough that, like, so many people in a league are going to have a great first baseman, because that's a high number of elite players at any one position. And so if you're one of the ones who doesn't, particularly in a head-to-head scenario, it makes it hard to compete at that position, because over and over again you're facing a team with a great first baseman. I'm not saying, like, I'm just going to defy all other measurements of all the other things you look for in the first couple rounds to get a first baseman, but I'm certainly not going to pass up a player in those first 2 rounds just because he plays first base.
Okay. Guys, Chris, Heath, your first base strategy?
I totally flip-flopped on this. I was exactly where Scott is last year, and the fact that Chris Davis is falling like he is, the fact that Carlos Santana is still such an excellent value, and then in roto leagues, I like picking up Will Myers. I'm okay with, like, if Joey Votto's there in the second round, I'm pretty much taking him. If we're in the first round and I come up and I can get Goldschmidt or Rizzo, I'm taking them. But other than that, I'm perfectly fine with waiting for Chris Davis or Carlos Santana or Will Myers in roto.
Okay, before I go to Chris, I just want to talk about a couple of the guys that Heath mentioned. It's very important that you have to understand the difference in value, specifically for two guys Heath mentioned. In points versus roto leagues or points versus OBP leagues. Chris Davis is much better in roto. He strikes out so much, it really hurts him in points leagues. Carlos Santana, always better in points leagues. He is...
That gap really shrunk last year, though.
It shrunk because he hit the home runs, but Santana was still number 8 in points and number 12 in roto. Because he had a 1-to-1 walk to strikeout ratio. He always has an amazing walk to strikeout ratio.
And always has a low batting average.
Yes.
And so, the batting average was better last year, too.
Because he hit more home runs. But, you know.
Still 259, I mean.
Like, we all said we're not betting on him replicating last year's home run total. So there's going to be a half step back for Carlos Santana. And, Yeah, even in points leagues where he gets those walks, if he's not hitting 30-plus home runs, I feel like he's a fine starter. I don't feel like he's a difference maker.
He's borderline.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, what's your strategy?
I hate to say it, but it's largely like Heath's. I'm happy to take Paul Goldschmidt. We had one recent draft where he fell to eighth, which just ridiculous to me. I've taken Joey Votto as early as 12th in a head-to-head points league. If I can get one of those early guys, I'm happy with it. If not, I'm fine waiting all the way. I have Hanley Ramirez 12th. I'm happy with him as my starter or any of the first 12. And, you know, after that, I think there's a pretty big drop.
Let me ask you guys something, because you both cited Votto as you singled out Votto.
Uh-huh.
Chris, you also singled out Goldschmidt. And you know, they're great players, obviously. Both of them excel in batting average. Goldschmidt also, presumably, with the change of manager, excels at stolen bases. Is that partly because of the variety that they give you in a roto format, excelling in those other categories? Because this is something I've thought about with Encarnacion. I'm kind of taking the stance this year that because home runs seem much easier to come by than years past, the early rounders who mostly just contribute in home runs, and this is a very roto-specific discussion, the ones who contribute mostly just in home runs are ones I'm looking to avoid. I feel like the early rounds, you have to diversify and really prioritize specifically batting average and stolen bases.
And I actually, you know, you look at Votto and he's stolen 19 bases over the last 2 years too. He's actually kind of, and you're not going to depend on that, but, you know, he stole 8 bases last year, had 29 homers. I think his skill set, because he does so many things well, like you said, there's less risk for him falling off.
What about Miggy in this discussion? Because obviously he's been a very reliable source of batting average too.
He's
most reliable of the three, probably.
Miguel Cabrera's he's fantastic, and
it's
hard to... There's no argument against Miguel Cabrera, really.
Except age. And
I almost never end up drafting him, but that's mostly just age and a little bit of injury-related concerns, because he's not in the best shape. He did have injury issues, two of the last 3 years late in the season.
Played through it one of those years.
Had the ankle injury 3 years ago.
Right.
2 years ago, only played like 115 games. For me, it's mostly just a little queasiness about that that makes me like Votto a little more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but let's not forget, I mean, yes, sure, they're home run hitters. They're also Encarnacion, rather. I mean, he's also a guy who scores a lot of runs and drives in 100 runs every year. So he's extremely valuable.
I just feel like pretty much all the early rounders, like the guys going in the first two rounders, you should expect to do that.
Well, do you expect that from, like, I don't know. I don't expect that from the shortstops. I don't expect that necessarily from Seager and Correa. Maybe, but I don't expect it. I don't expect them to be run producers like I expect the first baseman.
Well, I mean, part of the argument I've been making for why Seager needs to go much earlier than he finished last year is because he only had, I think, 72 RBI last year, and that seemed ridiculously low given the kind caliber of hitter he is. And it wouldn't surprise me if he moves kind of closer to the number three spot in the Dodgers order this year, and just luck changes that too. I think if you're producing the kind of batting average and power that these early rounders produce, you can mostly rely on the runs and RBI to work themselves out.
But think about this. If Edwin Encarnacion were shortstop eligible, where would he be in your shortstop rankings?
2.
Behind Machado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. More first base questions. Real quick on AL only, NL only, guys. You just did an NL only draft. How much does it change in those formats?
I don't know. I didn't notice a big dearth in either of the two league specific.
AL is more top heavy because Davis and Santana become elite options in an AL only league. And there were a lot of guys in our NL only yesterday late, Justin Bour, Travis Shaw, that we feel perfectly fine starting at first base in an NL only league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're willing.
Four of my top 11 are AL only, so it does change that. But there's a lot more depth in the AL because a lot of those DH guys.
Yeah.
Okay. How about auctions? You know, first base gets compared to third base a lot. Do you think it's worth it to pay up for both an elite first baseman and one of the top three third basemen? top five first baseman, top three, or top six.
I've not done that.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever done that.
I with mixed league auctions, I tend to go studs and duds. Yeah. So I try to target the players at every position who I think will be the most impactful. Man, I hate that we haven't done that mixed league auction yet because I haven't gone through that level of preparation.
I think I might try it.
I feel more that way about first base, I think, than third base.
Okay.
Would be my initial answer. But I know Heath and Chris aren't approaching first base quite the same way I am. Not prioritizing those first and second round types as much.
And format specific guys. So first basemen that are better in certain formats. We talked about Chris Davis better in Roto. I would say Jose Abreu is probably better in Roto, right? Because his plate discipline is bad.
Yep. And good batting average.
And he always manages a good batting average. Carlos Santana always better in points. Is there anyone else you can think of? I think Matt Carpenter is probably better in points because he doesn't steal any bases, right?
Yeah, he walks a lot. It's kind of like Santana, except he's not, the batting average should be a strength as well, so that helps him a little in Roto. But, first half of last year, he was like a top five player in points leagues because he was, in part because he got on base so much.
If 2016 Will Myers is real, he's very good in Roto.
Yeah, with the steals. Oh, and also bad plate discipline.
He is probably the most baffling to me. So we'll do ADP in a second. Let's do sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Give me your favorite sleeper first baseman, Heath Cummings. You can start it off.
Travis Shaw's first base eligible, right? Can I use him for our first base discussion and our third base discussion? Did you know that he moved to the Brewers and he's going to play half of his games at Miller Park?
What?
Did you know that Miller Park is the best home run park for left-handed hitters?
Heath.
Did you know that Travis Shaw hits left-handed?
Heath, I feel like you should have mentioned this at some point.
Yeah. Miller Park, they have a slide. Every time somebody hits a home run, they slide down the slide.
So and someday that will be you. Do you think he is the guy you're looking at to be your corner infielder for like a dollar or two in an auction?
That would be outstanding. Phenomenal. Okay. I lost him in the NL only yesterday because somebody went to $16 on him.
Okay, yeah. Very different rates. Very different going rates in league only. Chris Towers, favorite sleeper?
I'll just follow the Heath train. Someone I've mentioned a bunch, Tommy Joseph.
Okay.
That kind of power in the late rounds.
Right. So we've had this discussion before. We've each, all three of you guys gave a different name for like that late round corner infielder with power. For Heath, it's Travis Shaw. For Chris, it's Tommy Joseph. Scott, you were Josh Bell, right?
Yep. And that's who I was going to say here. Josh Bell, who I was just so impressed by the poise he showed. At least at the plate.
And
defense,
the game was
matter.
On the line. The bases were loaded. The sound of the ball when Josh Bell hit it in that moment.
Yeah, well, his second major league bat hitting the pinch hit grand slam. But it's not just that. I mean, he had 21 walks to 19 strikeouts. The first time he ever saw major league pitching, he was only one of three hitters, I believe, who with as many at-bats as he got or more. Walked more than they struck out. One of three hitters in baseball, and this was first time he was seeing major league pitching. Plate discipline was something that defined his minor league career, always hit for good average, and has long been projected to develop power. It's been a little slow to come around. He did take a small step forward last year in the minors. But just looking at him, I mean, he is so...
How is this not
impressive,
your Valentine?
Physically.
You know, here's my one thing, though, and it kind of... I don't know if this is fair or not, but you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
Everything that you're saying?
Who?
Like a right-handed James Loney.
I was thinking he kind of looks like Ken Harvey.
And maybe he becomes James Loney, but maybe he doesn't. I mean, right. There have certainly been a lot of players who topped out in the teens and the minors and then suddenly became monster. Well, doesn't even have to be a monster home run hitter. I just wanted to be a Joey Votto-level home run hitter. Because I don't know that the other numbers would be so different from Votto in terms of how often he's walking.
Votto's hit
the kind
29
of average
home runs each
for.
Of the last 2 years.
Yeah, I think he could be that level power hitter.
Okay, that is Josh Bell.
Obviously recovering from knee surgery, that probably needs to be mentioned with him. So clearly not somebody you want to reach for, but I'll still invest a late round pick in him, especially.
You need to name all of your teams this year for whom the bell tolls.
Okay. Josh Bell, Pirates first baseman. I almost called him Josh Bird because Greg Bird is also in that discussion of late round power. There's some pretty good late round first basemen. You could at least take a flyer on and
right.
drop him if it doesn't work out. How about a breakout? Scott, favorite breakout first baseman?
Okay, breakout first
is
baseman.
Is there one? This is not that kind of position, is there?
It's really not. Like,
yeah, like how do
I want to say Bell.
How do we define breakout? Like, is it someone who's going to reach a level they've never reached before? Someone who's going to dramatically outperform their draft position?
I think the first is the closest definition for me. I would say CJ Chrome, but after the signing of
Valbuena?
Yeah, Luis Valbuena. It sounds like Crone's playing time is going to be an issue. It might be, and this is obviously on a lower level, it might be Justin Bour. You know what? I kind of like Kenny Vargas, maybe to fit this description as well. We're talking beyond the point you're drafting in mixed leagues, but it's, you know, most of the first basemen are so proven, it's hard to call any of them a breakout. I think both Bour and Vargas, the increases in playing time that they may be in line for this year. Mattingly recently saying Bor could start against lefties.
I'm gonna cut into this. Stop the hemming and hawing.
Would you
and
stop
give
your serial interrupting
answer? Brandon Belt is the breakout first baseman.
Okay.
Okay.
Look up Vargas and what the other guy. I guess
I'm gonna go with Anthony Rizzo.
Bor
is going to break out and reach a level he's never reached before, like National League MVP, number one first baseman overall, top three pick next year, 40 home runs, 100 runs, 120 RBI, and hit 300.
Okay. Chris, Brandon Belt, I think that's
Brandon Belt.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Hits a bunch of fly balls, hits the crap out of the ball, plays in the worst park in baseball for left-handed hitters. But if he just has one of those random, even like a 15% home run to fly ball ratio type of season, he was 9% last year, he could be a 25 homer, 100 RBI, 90 run guy.
He could be Eric Hosmer.
Sure. He could be a much better version of Eric Hosmer.
Okay, so Brandon Belt was the number 13 first baseman in points leagues last year, but number 19 in Roto. And if you played in an OBP league, he certainly would have been closer to 13 than 19. Because he had a 394 OBP. Belt had the ninth highest on base percentage in baseball. And somehow he only scored 77 runs. Absolutely ridiculous. That if he gets on base, you know, close to that, he will score more runs. But I don't know, man. This is a guy who's been 2013, 2015, and 16. He's kind of the same hitter every year, just with higher OBP, last year. So I don't know.
Breakout's coming.
Okay, I hope so. That'd be nice.
If he ever gets traded to Miller Park, watch out. He might hit like 50 home runs.
Here's a breakout. I know he broke out last year, but maybe he can break out again, and I'm not sure. I'm just a candidate. Will Myers. Can he do it for a full season? Because he was really bad in the second half. Can he do it for a full season and be a legit, you know, third round pick type value for someone who's going in fifth or sixth round?
Yeah. I think that's an excellent one, Adam.
Well, thank you.
Good job.
Appreciate it. Everything is wonderful. What did you say at the beginning of the show?
Awesome. Everything is awesome.
Real quick, guys, a bust.
Well, the reason I couldn't even entertain Will Myers as a breakout is because I had to reserve him to be my bust pick at the position. I don't know with his plate discipline, his profile as far as that goes, struck out more than 100 times than he walked. Well, 100 more times than he walked last year.
He still had a 10% walk rate, though.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
That's not bad.
But he strikes out a lot. I don't know that there's much chance of him eclipsing the .259 batting average he put together last year. So it's really – his profile is really dependent on his power gains. And I think we're drafting him at a point that presumes they're legit. Maybe they are. But – like if they're not, I just don't feel like there's a lot to fall back on there with Will Myers. So I see him as a player who could be a bust in the truest sense. You invest a lot in him and you're dumping him midseason.
Ooh.
I was dumping him last season actually in May or June for partly the same reason. He just the downside for him is so palpable that anytime he goes into a slump, you're like, oh no, this is it.
Yeah, well, he went through half a season long slump. Myers was the number 9 first baseman in points, number 6 in Roto. He hit 28 home runs, scored 99 runs, and stole 28 bases, and he drove in 94. He was really bad after the All-Star break. He was really bad after Matt Kemp left, and I am also worried about their lineup. Their lineup stinks.
He's kind of like first baseman Rougned Odor. He had all the hype. He had a little bit of a rough stretch. He had a little bit of a breakout last year.
His
but
rough
still
stretch
kind of
was a lot longer than Rougned Odor.
Still,
the entire like Will Myers'
still
rough stretch
very
was like,
streaky.
Was like 2 years.
Well, had kind of a breakout last year, but still was like a number 9 at his position, number 10 at his position.
The reason that's I liked Myers going into last year was because he was very good in 2015 before the wrist injury. 32 games before the wrist injury, he hit .291 with 5 home runs and 10 doubles and 3 steals, .833 OPS. And then he had a great half a season, .286 batting average with 19 homers and 19 doubles, 15 steals before the All-Star break, and then Myers was terrible. So when we get to average draft position, you can tell me if you think he's going in an appropriate place.
To be clear, like, he was terrible in the second half. That's factually accurate. He was terrible in July and August. He, in September, .791 OPS, .200 ISO, he was fine.
That's pretty mediocre for a first baseman that you're drafting in the fifth
he
round.
He was fine. He's a 28 steal guy with a .791 OPS and a .200 ISO. Well worth starting.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know if it's worth fifth round, but... All right, Heath, bust.
I think it's pretty easy. We already talked about him a lot, and it's Freddie Freeman. If he's being drafted in the middle of the third round, and we mostly think he's going to regress a little bit from last year, he's not going to be worth that.
Is there someone you're worried about just having a terrible year? Because I don't think we're worried about Freeman having a terrible year, you know?
No, but if he's just what he was before last year, that's a bust. If you're taking a borderline... top 10 first baseman.
Totally fair.
Round.
That's totally fair. I'm not dismissing or saying you're wrong. I want to know if there's someone else that you think could be really bad.
Someone else that could be really bad.
You do not have
how
to
about,
give an answer.
How about Hanley Ramirez? The nomination.
Ooh, I disagree.
For that.
I think Hanley's going to be awesome.
I agree.
We were just saying could. We weren't saying will. Do you at least acknowledge the possibility?
There's a chance, terrible. But I think Hanley's the best of the. Like later first baseman in that first
better than Santana
because I gave you guys Freeman.
I have
like,
him quite a bit higher than Santana.
I'm not as willing to say as these two that Freddie Freeman wasn't legit breakout last year. I just understand the opposing argument and don't want to take him that early because of it.
Mm-hmm. I got a name for you, and the only reason I'm worried is because of injury, and it's Daniel Murphy. I think you know Daniel Murphy was arguably the second best hitter on a per plate appearance basis. I can't find many who were better. I think just Mike Trout, but he was so amazing last year, Daniel Murphy. Now, a lot of that was 47 doubles, which is better in points, but, he had recurring leg injuries. He missed time last year at the end of the season. Murphy played 142 games, and I just think people need to know he's been told that those leg injuries could recur in 2017. So strictly because of injury, Daniel Murphy worries me a little bit.
I will give two. Adrian Gonzalez going 150th overall. I think there's a chance that he's just done.
Another guy who like, can't hit lefties on the Dodgers.
Yeah, he might just be a platoon player, without the upside of like I'm not 100% sure he's going to be better than Justin Bour this season. And the other one, we've talked a lot about him. Eric Hosmer's going in the ninth round. That seems ridiculous to me.
So yeah. I wanted to bring up Hosmer. I know you've had. You just don't think the home runs were legit, right? He had, 25 or something?
Yeah, I don't think... Like, if he does what he did last season, he is well worth a ninth-round pick, but it's really what he did in, like,
know that that's
2 months.
The weird thing about
he wasn't
this,
very good last year, apart from the home runs.
I think we have to be a little careful with first basemen and the when they're being drafted, because I don't disagree with what Chris is saying about Adrian Gonzalez, where his ADP shows, and Hosmer, where his shows... But they're also being drafted as the 17th and 20th first baseman.
If you take out, it depends. Yeah, it depends if you count the dual, multi-position eligible guys, right? Like Posey.
Right. It would be. I think it would be 15th and 18th if you take out the guys that are not eligible.
But even then, you're still investing in a corner infielder in the ninth round, probably won't hit 20 home runs. Might not combine for 180 runs in RBI. I think there are better ways to invest your pick than that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you'd rather just wait and take Tommy Joseph, Travis Shaw,
Yeah,
Josh Bell.
Because he's 11th on CBS.
Well, where Adam? So Hosmer had this career year power wise. Where did he actually finish?
Yeah, that's the thing. Hosmer was 15th in points, 13th in roto, and in 2015 he only hit 18 home runs, but he was 8th in points and 7th in roto. In 2013 he hit 17 home runs. He was 9th in points and 9th in roto. I never really liked Hosmer because you know I want home runs from my first baseman, but if he just has like a normal good batting average, like solid all-around player, nothing fancy, he could be a top 10 first baseman.
But and good Hosmer has delivered the good batting average. There's been a lot of on and off to Eric Hosmer over the years, and when you throw the power you pile the power mistrust on top of that, because I mean that's
and it's
you
mostly,
absolutely shouldn't trust. It's the same argument I've been making for Christian Yelich. Yeah. He had an elite home run to fly ball ratio and not an elite home run total, which I think is a scary combination.
Yeah. And I actually think Yelich is a better power hitter than Eric Hosmer, just in terms of like, I would expect him to have a higher home run to fly ball ratio. But Eric Hosmer had a 59% ground ball rate last year. That is not quite like Ben Revere-esque, but it's really, really high.
Yep.
Like he's probably more of like a 15 home run guy.
All right. Let's do ADP and see what we like. Oh, by the way, more news and notes tomorrow. We'll talk about Michael Brantley, Evan Gattis. On our website, Mike Exisa, one of our writers, wrote about renowned cheater Carter Capps and his potential to be the Padres closer, which would be awesome. But he's not really a cheater. I just think that there's no way his delivery should be legal, but it is. Wilson Ramos reiterating he hopes to be ready to hit by May, and Washington signed Adam Lind. So yeah, we can cover that on tomorrow's show. That it will include both Chris and Heath. Heath and Chris.
Chris is coming up.
Just Heath will be on the mailbag.
All right. So here's your ADP review. Luckily, we've talked about a lot of these guys, but Goldschmidt's going 7th overall. That is pretty good value. When would you guys take Paul Goldschmidt?
I have him 5th.
Yeah.
After Trout, Betts, Altuve, and Arenado.
I have the same top 5.
I have him 8th.
Wow. Even in Roto? Because I know you have him number 1 in Roto at first base.
Yep. I've got Trout, Altuve, Betts, and the 4 third basemen, and then Goldschmidt.
Okay. So Anthony Rizzo is going 12th. He's going behind three Nationals, Bryce Harper, Trey Turner, and Max Scherzer. That's interesting. I think
I've got Rizzo right after Goldschmidt and Roto, and 8th in points.
Okay. So look, this is just the average. This doesn't mean it's going to happen in all of your drafts.
Yeah. I do think Rizzo going behind Harper and was he going behind Kershaw too?
Yes.
Like the best thing Rizzo has going for him is safety. He's the most secure of one of the most secure of the first round picks, especially relative to those guys. I'm not confident in the end it will actually be quite first round caliber production, but if you know late in the first round you don't want to gamble on a player, like you can still make Rizzo your first overall pick, him perform more like a second rounder, and you still have an awesome season. Like that's the appeal to him, I believe.
Okay, and Heath obviously is hoping for a lot more than that. Miguel Cabrera, 14th overall. Joey Votto, 21st overall. Do you all have Votto ahead of Miggy?
I don't believe I do, no.
Okay.
I do.
Yeah, I do.
But 21st overall, I mean, that's later than we've seen Votto go. And if he were going 21st...
Because we're drafting with these two.
Well, but if he's going 21st overall, that changes my strategy, because then I can definitely take a third baseman. I could take one of the top three third basemen and hope to get Votto in the second round.
Yeah.
As it is now, if I have like a top three pick, I don't know that I'm getting, I might have to reach for Freeman the way our draft's been going. I don't even know that Encarnacion would be there in our draft.
See, that's the thing. If my choice is one of those third basemen and Votto or Goldschmidt and a pitcher, I'm taking one of those third basemen and Votto.
But you can't count on Votto being there. That's the problem. Like you can only, you have to account for every scenario, and that's not, it's certainly a possible one, but if it doesn't happen, then Encarnacion is there.
Yeah.
Or whatever, right? Like,
so
I do want to mention, since this is the first base preview, and I think this is a big part of who Votto is. He's been a very frustrating player to own the last couple years just because of the way he's gone about accumulating his numbers. And maybe that's unfair. I know normally we dismiss that kind of stuff as randomness, but just seeing some of the profiles, you know, sit down interviews writers have had with him over the years, it sounds like this is partly deliberate by him.
You're like talking about the slow first halves.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Last year he hit like, what, 220 over the first 2 months?
Yeah.
And, and at his age, it had some of us wondering if we should jump ship. Fortunately, I didn't in the leagues where I owned him, but it was a consideration and it put me in a big, pretty big hole early. I don't want to mischaracterize it because I'm kind of just blending a bunch of quotes I've read from him in different sources into what I perceive he's saying, but it sounds to me like he goes about it early trying to train pitchers to pitch him a certain way, like intentionally not swinging at the things that are going to most likely lead to hits for him because he wants a certain scouting report to develop that he can then take advantage of later. So I don't know that it's just random luck.
Okay.
And that's the main reason why I'm not as enthusiastic about him as these two.
Yeah, I guess my thing is like, if I know at this point, I feel very confident in what Joey Votto is going to look like at the end of the season.
Sure.
So I'm just going to kind of live with the potential slow start because I don't think it's guaranteed.
That's easier to do in Roto.
No. It's easier in Roto, yes.
Definitely.
Right.
But I think the real answer here is that you just draft Salvador Perez and Jason Hamill late and then trade them for Joey Votto at the All-Star break.
There you go.
Yeah, I've traded for Joey Votto 2 years in a row in my big Roto league and it's been awesome.
All right. So back to the ADP. Goldschmidt 7th overall, Rizzo 12th, Cabrera 14th, Votto 21st, Encarnacion 25th, Freeman 28th. I think we've spent enough time on that. He's more of a fourth rounder. In our minds, Heath wants Freeman in the fifth round, not early in the third. Daniel Murphy in round 4. And you might be playing Daniel Murphy at first base. It's very possible. As I mentioned, on a per plate appearance basis, in points leagues at least, where Murphy is a doubles machine, nobody at the position was better than Daniel Murphy.
That's great value.
Do you think round 4, you think it's great value?
Yep.
Yeah, I said at the top, he might not last past 2 early round 3. So if the average, the ADP on Fantasy Pros is 4, like, that's something I'm doing every time.
We would all rather have Murphy than Freeman, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And so no concern about the injury then, I guess, which is totally understandable.
There's concern about the injuries, but that, for me, that's the main concern, not so much the breakthrough he had at an advanced age last year.
Right.
I think one thing that like maybe slept on just a little bit, the Nationals, I'll just say it. The Nationals could arguably have the best offense in baseball.
Yeah. If Harper's
Adam
Harper?
Eaton, Trey Turner, Daniel Murphy, Bryce Harper, Anthony Rendon.
Yeah.
And I know the rest of the lineup isn't great, but that.
There's going to be a lot of opportunities for Daniel Murphy early in the lineup.
To score and drive in lots and lots of runs.
Hopefully he hits behind Bryce Harper. Because Bryce Harper gets on base like crazy.
But even if he doesn't, if he's hitting behind Trey Turner, we think he's going to get on base like crazy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like perfect might be sandwiched between Murphy.
I would assume
Turner
they go
Harper.
I mean, I'd go Eaton, Turner, Murphy, Harper. That's phenomenal.
I know last year there was a lot of concern about Harper not having enough protection. They finally moved Murphy behind him.
And it worked out either way.
Yeah. It didn't really help Harper actually, but
it worked out for Murphy.
Yeah.
So I think this tier of the first baseman, after the first two, who are obvious first rounders, Goldschmidt and Rizzo, is, so it's Cabrera, Votto, Encarnacion, Murphy, Freeman. Let's take Freeman out of the equation. Cabrera, Votto, Encarnacion, and Murphy are going to go in the second and the third round in a lot of leagues. And a lot of them are going to be gone by the end of the second round. But it is a much stronger tier than what you have at third base after the first three are off the board, after Arenado, Donaldson, and Bryan are off the board.
And Machado.
Oh, right, but I always figure he's playing shortstop for you. But
probably, yeah.
So that is an argument. If you want to come away with a first baseman and a third baseman with your first two picks, that is an argument to go with one of the third basemen first, one of those top three, and then get that second tier of first baseman next, if that's the route you want to go. Moving on. Going to Will Myers in round 5, Jose Abreu in round 6, Matt Carpenter in round 6, Chris Davis, Hanley Ramirez in round 7. So our next 5 first basemen are Myers, Abreu, Carpenter, Chris Davis, and Hanley Ramirez.
That's the top 12, right?
That's it right there, right? Have we reached the point where we don't want these guys, where nobody else, where these are the last guys we want as our starting first baseman?
Yes. I'm thrilled if I can get Davis in the 7th. This is Roto. I am not very interested in taking Hanley in the 7th.
I actually like Hanley a lot there.
These are exactly 12 first basemen, by the way.
I'm with Heath here, because you read through Hanley, right, in round 7. That was the last one you mentioned.
He's 12.
Yeah, Carlos Santana is 2 first basemen after that in round 10. I would slot him ahead of Hanley.
Even
maybe
in Roto.
Take both in round 9.
Even in Roto, Scott?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, even I guess I just... I understand the injury concerns with Hanley. I understand that he's been up and down.
Wildly up and down.
Mm-hmm. But the power has been good in Boston. He's had a 19 and a 21% home run to fly ball ratio, which makes sense given the type of hitter he is playing in Boston. I think that's an advantage he's going to enjoy.
Yeah, I just don't know that I can even apply reason to Hanley anymore. He's defied reason so often that I'd rather him be somebody else's problem.
I'm happy to take a DH playing Hanley in Fenway in what I think will be the odds-on favorite for the best lineup in baseball.
There's going to be some RBI regression for him, I would expect.
Maybe.
I don't know. Not that much. He had 111.
I don't know, because he's just going to move up into David Ortiz's spot, hitting behind Andrew Benintendi, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts. Like, that's a really great place to hit in a lineup that's going to turn over and over and over and over.
If there's RBI regression from Hanley Ramirez, who hit 286, 30 home runs, 111 RBIs, it's because there's overall regression. I mean, it's because he won't play as well. And Hanley was the number 10 first baseman in points, number 9 in Roto. Also, he was not so great for the first 4 months. He hit 275 with 13 home runs, and then he was great in the last 2 months, 17 homers, 306 batting average. I'm on the fence with him. I'm on the fence. I don't want him to be I don't want to settle. I'd like to get one of the first 11.
And he was 9 or 10, and that's, we agree, what he did last year is his upside?
No, I think he's got legitimate, 100. I think he could be the same hitter he was last season and drive in 130 runs in this lineup.
So he could...
Because, David Ortiz drove in 127, and
he's
Hanley...
He's not
had,
David Ortiz.
I'm not saying
not
he's
even
David
close.
Ortiz. I'm not saying he's David Ortiz. I actually wasn't comparing him at all as a player.
Driving 130 runs.
I'm saying David Ortiz drove in 127, and Hanley batting behind David Ortiz drove in 111. There are a ton of run-driving-in opportunities in this Boston lineup. He didn't get all that many because of how many David Ortiz drove
Ortiz
in.
Stole them from
him. It's not stolen. It's
he
just
stole
that
them.
There are going to, if Hanley moves up to that number 4 spot in this lineup, hitting behind Mookie Betts, hitting behind Xander Bogaerts, hitting behind Andrew Benintendi, those are guys who should get on base a ton. There's going to be, I think he's someone who has a really good chance to outperform whatever we think his talent level is.
Answer me this. Between Will Myers, Jose Abreu, Matt Carpenter, Chris Davis, and Hanley Ramirez, who has the most upside?
Chris Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Davis, he could hit 50 home runs and drive in 130.
I think that even though he is the third of this group, I think Matt Carpenter is my favorite. And Matt Carpenter, before his oblique injury, was having a career year. He was unbelievable. And he's eligible at so many positions, too, which is nice.
He's my favorite also.
He's your favorite of this group?
That's not how you phrase the question. I mean, if you're just talking pure upside, Chris Davis is, the only hitter in the last 5 years to submit a 50-homer season, so...
I was pivoting to a different question. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound like Carpenter has more upside, but...
I have Carpenter ahead of all those guys.
Oh, okay.
Look, Carpenter's performed at an MVP level himself before, so I don't want to undersell his upside either. It's just a little... different, and I don't think it can be appreciated quite the same way in a Roto league. Well, if Chris Davis is at his very, no matter how unlikely, best, that's appreciated everywhere.
So now we have 12 first basemen off the board. Eric Hosmer in round 9, Carlos Santana round 10, Pujols round 12, Adrian Gonzalez round 13, Kendrys Morales, Brandon Belt round 14. So Hosmer, Santana, Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, Morales, who's not first base eligible, right?
No, not
in
our
leagues. Yeah, he's DH only.
Should throw Brad Miller in there. He's only a couple spots behind.
I figured Miller would be better for a second base preview or shortstop preview.
Shortstop
preview, but and then Brandon Belt. Is there anything that jumps out in this group again? Hosmer, Santana, Pujols, Gonzalez, Morales, Belt.
Pujols needs to come way down, like a lot,
because the foot surgery.
Yeah, he's going to be 4 months removed from foot surgery as a 37-year-old. I just him and Adrian Gonzalez in this range, there's a decent chance that you're getting nothing from them.
But there's a decent chance, like if Pujols does recover, he's going to be so much better than Gonzalez because he certainly has been the last couple years.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little more willing. Like that feels like maybe an upside pick a little later than round 12. I agree round 12 might be a little early given the risks. Because, you know, there was a report late January that he might not even be ready for opening day. And once you open on that can, you know,
it
can keep pushing back the timeline. Like we've seen this from countless players, Brantley last year.
It feels
year.
Like Victor Martinez to me. In 2015, was that the one where he had the knee surgery? I know it's a different type of injury.
Yeah, there was a similar situation.
But it's one where it's an aging player who, you know, they're saying, oh, he's going to be back by this point. We think, oh, he's going to be back by that point and just be himself. And you can just discount him there. But there's a chance that this just ruins him. We've seen Albert Pujols' foot injury be a real issue in the past.
I think round 14, round 15, that's where the reward starts to outweigh the risk for me with Pujols.
Okay. And then late picks, we've got Victor Martinez. Is he first base eligible in our leagues, Victor Martinez?
Nope.
Okay. But he probably is on Yahoo. Mike Napoli. Yeah. Mike Napoli is going way too late, isn't he?
That's because his ADP is still influenced by the large percentage of the time when he was a free agent.
Yeah.
I apologize. I should have brought up Napoli earlier. Because Napoli was, I think, the number 11 first baseman in Roto last year. He was top 14 in both formats. And going to Texas, where he should be the starter at first base, and low batting average, high home runs. You expect 14th in points, 11th in Roto last year for Napoli.
Yeah, I'm really, and I've got him right in that tier with Pujols. I'm really just as skeptical with that, though. They've got a lot of pieces there. They've talked about how they don't want Napoli to have to play every day, I don't think. So, and he just hit 34 home runs when he hadn't hit 30 since 2011, when he was with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Very good track record with the Rangers.
Yeah.
He did, but it was half a decade ago.
No, but
well, no, it's been split between. He was there, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, he got traded there at the end of 2015. 14, I think, and he started hitting more fly balls, Mike Napoli.
It's a good thing in that park.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and he started doing it in 2000. He got traded there in 2015 to Texas, and then he went to Cleveland. Now he's back in Texas. He had a 908 OPS in 35 games in 2015 with Texas. Napoli, that's when he started hitting more fly balls. So, I just gotta end the show. We can talk. We got a whole month, a month and a half to go before the season, so we'll talk more about these players, but would you prefer Mike Napoli or those sleepers that you brought up earlier? Josh Bell, Travis Shaw, Tommy Joseph. You tell me.
Napoli over
all of them.
Yep.
Okay.
Unanimous. So,
yeah. You're
I'd prefer Napoli over Adrian Gonzalez, probably.
Okay. You're probably not drafting Napoli in a points league, in a one first baseman points league, but definitely a corner infield option in Roto. All right, guys. That's first base. Fun position. Fun show. Everything is awesome, and tomorrow your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We will see you later.